So now we're going to move on to the paper on IAS 10. And who am I handing over to?
It's Stefano again.
Oh, Stefano, who's not off the hook yet. Okay.
No.
You did such a good job, we're asking you to stay.
Thank you, Sue. We'll now discuss Agenda Paper 3. This paper analyzes comments on the tentative agenda decision about the accounting applied by an entity that is no longer a going concern. We received 16 comment letters by the comment letter deadline. Most respondents generally agree with the committee's analysis and conclusions in the tentative agenda decision. However, some disagree with aspects of the tentative agenda decision and/or request clarifications. Paragraphs 11 to 29 discuss respondents' comments and our analysis of those comments. As noted in paragraphs 23 to 24, we have also extended our search of publicly listed IFRS reporters that prepare financial statements on an ongoing concern basis. Based on our analysis and the extended research performed, we recommend finalizing the agenda decision with no changes to the tentative agenda decision. I will now direct your attention to the question on page 10 and ask whether you agree with our recommendation to finalize the agenda decision as explained in paragraph 30 of this paper.
Thank you, Stefano. Who would like to talk about IAS 10? Okay, so Jens.
Thank you, Sue. So I've read the staff paper, I've read the comment letters, and I'm still fully supportive of our tentative agenda decision. And I vote for finalizing our agenda decision as drafted. So I don't think that any of the verifications that are asked for are needed. And I've especially looked into the request from EY to add some words with regard to comparative financial information. I think we might add this. It's not harmful because it's not addressing the topic we're addressing as committee. And with regards to the other matters, I do agree that the other matters are out of scope of what we have to conclude today. So therefore, for me, it's straightforward finalizing the agenda decision as it is. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jens. Sophie.
Yes, I have no objection to finalize the agenda decision as it was initially published without any change. In my view, there is no new technical argument raised by the respondents to the tentative agenda decision, and that could have led to change with the wording. Having said that, regarding question two, if I agree with not adding a standard taking project, I continue to believe, like some respondents, that the committee could have performed a short technical analysis of the current IFRS standard with the conclusion that would have been in line with the prevalent practice, that is not to reset comparative periods. I would have preferred this way of reasoning. However, I accept and I understand that the committee can just conclude that it has not obtained evidence that the matter has a widespread effect. But I would have preferred
prefer this reasoning
with a technical analysis. Thank you.
Thank you, Sophie. Bob.
Thanks, Sue. I agree with the staff. I agree with finalizing the agenda decision, although, and while I agree with the response on question one, I can live with the response on question two, but my preference would be to be more definitive or to say, tie it more to the standards and say that there is no requirement to restate financial statements. I think that would be a better communication to the outside. But as I said, I can live with the way it is.
Thanks, Bob. Donna.
Thank you. So I agree with the staff paper and the conclusion reached, and Bob stole the words right out of my mouth. So I'm in agreement that question two, informative view that there is no requirement to restate, but at the point I'm not overly concerned. I'm happy with the wording in the agenda. Thank you.
Thanks, Donna. Young Su?
Thank you, Sue. I want to say that I agree with the staff analysis, but still I have some reservations about whether this issue is appropriate for the agenda decision. I mean, you know, the situations in question one and two are very rare situations, as far as I know. And we have some kind of agenda criteria in the due process handbook. And according to that, we are not supposed to answer some not widespread issues, but not material issues. So my concern is whether these two situations are not widespread or not material. So, you know, I have agree with the analysis, but I want to say that I have some reservations about the appropriateness of the agenda decision on this topic. However, if everybody else agrees with issuing the agenda decision, I have one comment on the agenda decision, which is the second line at page 12 of the agenda decision that starts with entities do not restate comparative information and so forth and so on. And I think maybe we do not need to include this paragraph in the phrase in the agenda decision. You know, what I'm afraid of is that by inserting this phrase in the agenda decision, we can misguide people. We can give some kind of misperception to the readers that we verified it, or we conducted some kind of technical analysis, and we recognize it as an appropriate accounting standard or accounting practice. So that in order to avoid any misperceptions or misunderstandings, I think we'd better eliminate this part of the phrase from the agenda decision. Well, if we want to, I think we have to include some strong sentence in the agenda decision that, you know, the committee did not conduct any technical analysis on question number two. Thank you.
Donae has specifically said she wants to respond to Young Su, and I'm guessing that Mary also wanted to talk on question two. So if it's okay, I'm going to let Donae in and then Mary.
Thank you very much. Young Su, from your perspective, you feel that this is not a particularly widespread issue? Is it that you're not seeing it in your geographical area? Or do you believe that there isn't a significant diversity in practice?
I think this issue would be popular for structured entities. So for structured entities, I think this issue could be popular. But for the other entities, this issue would not be popular at all. So what I'm worrying about is that many people are just thinking about the structured entities, not the other, the situations. That's why I said this issue cannot be that popular or widespread in the practice.
Do you think, though, with some, because I mean, in the South African context, we had, obviously, when we had the FIFA World Cup, is one example that pops into my head in 2010, there was a lot of debate about the limited purpose entities that were established as whether they could actually qualify as going concern because they had a very defined period in the constitution, et cetera. And it was actually quite a big issue. And I therefore appreciate your perspective. You're saying in the normal course of business, this is not a major issue, but this really is more an issue for structured entities. And I'm comfortable with the agenda decision because it does actually give those structured entities and with some preparers that are preparing these types of entities to be aware of that. I think the point that I think I'm a bit concerned about is if you think about special purpose entities that don't necessarily have, like, you're buying an asset and then you're going to sell the asset and then you're going to wind it down over time. Are you concerned that by putting this agenda out, we may in actual fact have some problems with those entities and that those entities may in actual fact never really meet the definition of going concern from initial recognition?
That is true. You know, what I was saying is that if any entity is structured for a defined period, maybe this agenda decision will help those kind of entities. But if you talk about normal entities that does not have any defined period, maybe we will not see any situations in, yes. like this one. So that is what okay. I'm trying to say.
Okay, I understand. Thank you so much for expanding. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks, okay. you.
I thought what was we had in mind in this paper from the staff perspective was much more the classic something's actually gone wrong rather than the limited life entities, but I might be imagining that. But Mary, I think your point was slightly different, but it's still maybe worth making now because then perhaps people can react.
Okay. Thanks, Sue, and thanks, everybody. I want to offer a general caution and then a second one that comes from experience, and it relates to the observation that Young Su was focused on question two about practice. The general caution, and for my sins, obviously I have been very badly behaved at some point. I have been involved in a number of the discussions about not a going concern basis of preparation. And one of the things that is that work over the years has beaten into me is that there is very, very, very little specific in the standards. And so I just urge generally caution about how much you can say, because and now I get to invoke one of my favorite rules, which is the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I think people, you know, everybody wants to be helpful, and you see what is a sensible observation. But I think as I reflected after reading the letters as a board observer, not as an interpretation committee member, about the observation about predominant practice, I questioned the wisdom of doing that if the committee's consideration has not included a technical analysis. And you know, I understand that many people wanted it as because they desired to be helpful or give a hint for people who'd raise this question. But I just wondered if it was appropriate to include an observation that you have not supported with analysis. So I just wanted to caution about that, even though it would make maybe the agenda decision less helpful. And I think that my same comment would apply to the suggestion that Bob had and Donna supported about the restatement of comparatives is not required. I think when you look at issues about not a going concern basis of preparation, there is not a lot, as I said before, and you have to think very hard about the interaction of all of the general requirements for financial statements with the kind of void that is in IFRS standards about that. So it does require a lot of work to back up. I'll stop. I'll get off my soapbox now.
Mary, before you get off your soapbox, can I just make sure everybody understands what the consequences of what you were suggesting, as I understand it, if people were to be incentivized by what you had said, you would be saying that rather than going on to talk about the restatement stuff that's discussed on page 12. We'd just say, based on its research, the committee observed no diversity in the application of IFRS standards with respect to question two. Sort of
that is correct. That is correct.
And so we wouldn't have the observation, because I think that the risk, which I must say I share a little bit, is that by stating that this is what we saw without the analysis, people could take from that an implication that we're saying that that's appropriate and that hasn't actually been analysed by the committee. So that I think is what Mary is observing.
Yes, I should have philosophized less and pointed more with my red pen.
That's okay. Lisa, I think you're next.
Okay, thanks, Sue. Just going on to the point that was just made, that Mary made, I can see, I mean, I would be supportive of that. And actually, yeah, if we didn't actually see that in an analysis that was performed, you know, including in the last part of that sentence, could be giving a perception that something occurred that didn't. So maybe that's something we'll come to when we actually talk about the drafting. But overall, I continue to be supportive of finalizing the decision and the paper. I actually thought on question one. I mean, that it was a very unique situation and it was probably highly unusual that that would occur. But it's interesting hearing the discussions now that, I can see with the limited life entity that this could be a situation that happens more in practice than I actually thought. And I know that that was one of the comments in the comment letters is that, you know, should we be answering this question because it was unusual, but it sounds like it happens more in practice. There may be some think it actually does. So I am supportive of finalizing the decision.
Ooh, I'm not sure that that was what the agenda decision was about. I'm worried we're getting a life of our
life. Okay. Did I go off on a different...
No, it's okay. It's what people have been saying, but I'm not sure that that was, you know, what was being considered. But John, I think you're next.
Thank you. So I'm brief. I'll be brief. I agree with the staff's analysis and with the decision to go ahead with the finalization of the agenda decision. That said, I thought Mary's point was very helpful, and I agree with her words of caution. So I think when we look at question two specifically in the draft, we should take that into account.
Thank you, John. Bertrand.
I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion, and with finalizing the agenda decision as worded. And maybe a quick comment on Mary's remark. I think it is useful, though, to as a kind of testimony to mention what the staff has observed as being the non-diverse practice. And the way the agenda decision is currently written, whereby we implicitly state that there was no technical analysis, it wouldn't preclude an entity to restate their financial statements if they wanted to. Then for most of the companies that are a situation of an ongoing concern, I think it's probably not their biggest concern as to restate their financial statements. I'm pretty sure that they have a lot of issues to deal with rather than restating their previous financial statements. And so by stating the dominant practice observed by the staff, I think it does not impede those companies to not restate their financial statements. But hence, we are useful to those, obviously.
Carsten?
Yeah, I think I would be in a similar place as Bertrand on this one. You know, I agree with the staff analysis and conclusions, and I'm also comfortable with the wording, I think. Maybe just an observation on what Bob said at the beginning and what Mary said later on, right? So I appreciate we haven't done a technical analysis, and I don't think the agenda decision actually suggests that. I think I would agree with Bob that, you know, there are no requirements in IFRS that would, that would require entities to restate comparative information. Now, we haven't done proper analysis, but that's quite an easy analysis, right? I mean, there's just nothing in IFRS there, I think, that would require a restatement. And but I would also be cautious of saying that, I guess, because that might actually imply, you know, if we say entities are not required, that implies we have done some technical analysis, and that would also raise some questions on whether entities would be allowed to restate comparative information. So on balance, I think, my preference would be to go with the wording as drafted by the staff on this one.
Thanks, Carsten. Guy?
I'm also in agreement with the analysis of the comment letters in the paper, and I'm also quite comfortable with the way the agenda decision is worded. I think on question one, it's just matter-of-factly expressing the requirements in paragraph 14 of IS 10 and the requirements in IS 1. do not see question one and what it says as controversial. On question two, I don't read the agenda decision as implying we did a technical analysis. I don't read the agenda decision as implying that if we did directionally, the analysis would be X or Y. It's just matter-of-factly saying that based on our research, there was no diversity, and we did not see a practice of people restating. And it seems to just plainly state what that research was. And I personally am not over-reading that to say, you know, it's either implying that comparatives are required. I don't think it's saying that, nor is it suggesting that we've done some technical analysis. If on balance, though, we wanted to just remove the comment about what that practice is and just say we observe no diversity, I personally wouldn't be adverse to that suggestion either. But at the same time, I'm not overreading in any way what the agenda decision is currently proposing to say on question two. So I would be comfortable with the wording as is, but I'm not adverse to the suggestion of just saying no diversity either.
Thanks. The reason why I'm a little bit hesitant, if I could choosing my word carefully about question two, is I don't think it's unreasonable for somebody reading an agenda decision where the committee, who are a panel of experts, have looked at it and said, well, we've been told by the staff that this is what people are doing and we haven't done anything about it, so it must be okay. So I think it's implying that, you know, I think somebody could read into it that this is a blessing by the committee and we haven't analysed it. Renata, I think you are next.
Thank you, Sue. I just would like to share with Young Sue my experience in my jurisdiction. Here, I tend to agree that it's not going to reach a lot of entities, but it's an important issue that we are addressing. I think we should go with the agenda. And in my jurisdiction, it's very common for companies that are in a situation that they are no longer going concern. They default with filing the financial statements. So I think it's going to address a really important condition here and help to the discussion with management, between management and auditors. So I think it's really important, this matter. And I agree with the analysis that the staff did. I agree with the wording, but I tend to agree also with Paul that we should have a robust comment to saying that it's not necessary to restate prior financial statements. Thank you, Sue.
Thanks, Ramasha. Bob.
Yep. Thanks, Sue. I wanted to come back on a couple of comments that you just made and Mary just made. I understand your concern of, you know, my suggestion of which might indicate that there is a blessing of not restating. I think another way I could rephrase it is that and would be better than what we've done on question two is to say that IFRS does not provide requirements with respect to comparative financial statements when an entity is not a going concern, which is an absolute true statement and doesn't lead anybody to, think that we've blessed either way. The other point is on the suggestion that we do a full stop at that we observe that there's no diversity. I'm struggling with the logic. Well, first, I think it's better to tell people, you know, what was observed, just kind of helps them. But the logic was to take out that statement that entities do not restate comparative financial statements because the committee has not done a full technical analysis. Well, we didn't do a full technical analysis for the first part of that sentence, which is that we observe no diversity. We're taking that from the staff. So do we have to take that out also? You know, I think what is the logical reading is that no, a technical analysis was not done nor required. The committee observed no diversity. What was that observation? That observation was that entities did not restate. So that's all I have.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Jim.
All right. I say that I agree with staff analysis and have no further comment or suggestions to make. This kind of a situation is a little bit away from my current practice. So I think that the paper is written in a very clear way.
Thanks, Jim. Goro.
Well, thank you, Sue. I agree with staff's decision as it is. And the, regarding the question one, it is quite straightforward. And the I believe that the analysis here is the only possible interpretation. And regarding question two, that the, yeah, I do not. First of all, I do not think that the restatement of a comparative information would provide the relevant information for the that the yeah I believe that the we should be brief as possible, and we since we have no diversity in the practice, so I think that the reference of the question two is just enough, so that the I would support that the final editing the agenda decision as it is.
Okay, thank you, Goro. Brian, and then I think we'll be able to vote.
Yeah, thank you. So just very quickly, so I agree with the agenda decision in the way it is drafted. I'd like to comment on the approach to question two. So in the time that, because I think Mary has a very interesting point, in the time I've been on the committee, I think we've used this approach, this observation of no diversity, on three occasions. And I think as a committee, we have been inconsistent on those occasions. We talked about restatement of comparatives when a economy becomes hyperinflationary, and in that case we said we observed no diversity and described what people did. In the tentative agenda decision on non-recoverable VAT on lease payments, we say there's no diversity but don't describe what we've observed, and in this one we say there's no diversity and state what the observed practice is. So I can see that there is some diversity in what we do, and perhaps we should have a policy kind of going forward about how we phrase this particular format of agenda decision. However, I think that policy should be set kind of prospectively with a debate about it the next time we have an agenda decision that is worded in this way. I think because this is the wording we use in the tentative agenda decision, it attracted relatively little comment, and there isn't a discussion of the pros and cons of different approaches to this wording in the agenda paper, I would go with this wording this time. Now, I think there is an underlying question, perhaps, for us to think about the next time we have an issue of this nature.
Sounds sensible. Okay, so with that discussion, could I get a show of hands from the committee members on who supports finalising the agenda decision, and then we'll confirm the wording.
I think not, am I correct? Not Young So. I'm seeing everybody else with their hand up on screen, but Young So is not voting for it.
Okay. And then on the phone, Brian?
Yes, I support finalising it.
Thank you. And Sophie?
I also support.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So that's 13.
Excellent. Thank you. And then I suggest that we Katrina, unless you want to test any other words, I think it, partly for the reasons that Brian just went through, that we propose voting on the tentative agenda decision with the words as set out in the staff paper without adjustments, so not in particular tinkering with question two. So without adjusting the words, could I get a show of hands first on who would support the agenda decision being finalised with that wording?
I'm seeing John not voting for, maybe I'll count the positives. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I see 5 votes on screen.
Okay, and then we've got Brian.
I support the current wording.
Okay, and Sophie?
I support 2.
Okay, so that's 7, so I need, that's not enough, is it?
That's not enough.
Okay, can I get a vote on question, I presume that, can I get a vote on the wording for up to question one, up to and including question one? I'm presuming that everybody's okay with that. Is that fair? Is everybody okay with question one's wording?
Yeah, I'm seeing all hands up.
Okay, and Sophie?
This is okay for me.
Yeah, and Brian, you both said yes anyway.
I'm fine with question one.
Okay, so on question two then, what should we vote on, Katrina, if people don't like the current wording?
Should we vote on Mary's suggestion?
Yeah, can we vote first on Mary's suggestion? So changing question two, slimming it down, not to saying what we observe, and just reducing it to observing no diversity, and then saying, therefore, we haven't obtained evidence of a widespread effect. Who supports the slimmed down words?
I have one, two, Lisa, are you yes or no? Yes, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 on screen.
Okay, and Sophie, could you live with the slimmed down words?
Yes, I would support too.
Okay. Brian, that wasn't your preference, so I'm presuming no?
That's correct. I would prefer the current wording.
Okay, so that's how many? Was that 10?
That was nine votes for.
Okay. So that's okay. All right, that's enough then.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. Katrina, do you want to do the work in progress paper now, or do you want to do it tomorrow? I guess we've got 2 minutes, so maybe we should do it now.